Good morning. It is good to see you all on this bright, sunshiny day. We're going to get into it. Before we do, we're going to pray. God, we are so thankful to be here in this place. From wherever we came from, we are here and we are blessed. And we need to be reminded sometimes that we're blessed. We need to be reminded that you're with us, maybe. Maybe sometimes we just feel all alone, but we need to come here and be reminded of your love and your grace for us. And so as we read Scripture, may it become alive and relevant. And may we just hear words that will help us to go out there that is chaotic and confusing and evil and mean and nasty, and be able to be this light in the darkness that you call us to be. In the resurrected name of Jesus, we all said, amen. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 11. Last week, we started a series where we're going to go through Ephesians, not necessarily verse by verse, but we're going to get some highlights from this letter. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, we're just going to dive right into it. So then, remember that at one time, you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who were called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at the time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world, but now in Jesus Christ, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. So Paul comes to these people and says, remember what you were like before you had Christ. Remember what it was like when you were on the outside. Now, this whole remembering thing is not anything new to the Scripture. As a matter of fact, it's very, very back in the beginning, if you'll remember. These people. Yes, Lord. I'll change my subject. All right. No. the people, they're in slavery. The Hebrew people, and Moses comes and he leads them out of slavery. And as they go back and they find their home in this land called Canaan, many, many times God comes to them and says, remember, you were slaves. Remember, you were slaves. Now, why is God doing this? And he, remember, you used to be under. Remember, you used to be the outcast. You used to be the oppressed. Remember how that felt. Don't you dare do it to anybody else. Yeah, one of the things that people say, people say the highlight of the Old Testament was, you know, King David and King Solomon. But what Hebrew scholars says, no, that was when it began to go south. Because who did Solomon use to build all of his great places and palaces? Slaves. And it's like, no, remember, you were once slaves, because we don't want to be the people that do that to other people. So Paul's coming and saying, okay, remember this. Remember, you used to be on the outside. You used to be the one everybody talked about. You used to be the one that was not good enough. You used to be the one that nobody said was worthy. And then I came along. God, and I made you worthy. I gave you a gift. I freed you from sin. So as you go forward, being a follower and a disciple of me, don't you do it to anybody else. You bring the same gift and grace and love to others that I gave to you. I would argue that is one of the main ways in which we, and I say we as people, can become very judgmental people, as we forget that we too have been the recipients of grace. We too have been given what we do not deserve. And if we remember that, then when we meet other people, we're not judging and condemning, but we're like, oh, well, here's this grace and this gift too that is available to who? To all people. So Paul says, remember, you were the recipients of something you didn't deserve, this grace and this love. Remember that, especially when we interact with other people. And then he goes on, verse 14. For he, Jesus, is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall that is the hostility between us. I love that scripture. These two different groups, Jesus got rid of the dividing wall. Jesus said, you two, there can be, and he starts it off, there can be what? Peace between two different groups of people. Really? Are you serious, Jesus? We're supposed to fight and disagree. Jesus, no, because of Jesus, we can get rid of that nonsense, and we can all have unity and agreement. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinance that he might create in himself one, not two, not three, not four, one new humanity in place of the two, making what? Peace, that might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the Christ, thus putting to death that hostility. Put that hostility, that animosity, that put that to death. So he came and he proclaimed what? Peace to you who are far off, peace to you who are near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers. Remember, you're strangers. You're no longer strangers and aliens, but citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure, not just part of it, not just those who think like me, the whole structure has joined together and grows into one holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place of God. Is that not a beautiful scripture? Is that not just, I mean, it's one of the times you'll say, Paul, preach it. Keep it coming. So one of the things that Paul mentions over and over in this passage, peace. Peace, absence of conflict, absence of hostility, peace. And if I were to ask you this morning, how many of you can stand up and say, oh, my life is nothing but one big happy peace? Or no? Yeah. What's the opposite of peace? I think if Paul was writing in our language today, it might be drama. Now, if I were to ask you, how many of your lives is just one big drama? Yeah, but we might get a little more amens to that. So if Christ, his desire for us is to live in peace, then to me that means living drama-free. How much more peaceful would our lives be with the absence of drama? Oh, now that's where you amen. Yeah, amen. Now, so what I want to talk about today is there's three things that I want to talk about that have impacted my life on how do we have a drama-free, I was going to say drama-filled, we don't want that, drama-free life in a drama-filled world. How do we, this peace that Paul says this is what Christ wants for us, how do we do it? Now, first of all, I'm going to acknowledge this, and I'm going to be honest because that's what we're going to, there are two different kinds of drama. There is avoidable drama, and then there is unavoidable drama. The unavoidable drama I haven't really figured out. The unavoidable drama is the in-laws are coming over for a visit. Not mine, but yours. The unavoidable drama is Thanksgiving dinner with the family. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That unavoidable drama. And so when I was thinking about that, I was like, okay, I'm gonna talk about the avoidable drama, but like the unavoidable drama, I should give an example of like a situation with my family, but they're all still living and they watch this. So we're going to move on. We're going to go to avoidable drama. I think first thing for us, avoidable drama that we can do to manage is stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. What do I mean by stay in our lane? Romans, this is Paul also writing to a church in Romans chapter, I think it's 14. What do we got here? 12, chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to the world. If I were to ask you, is the world full of drama? Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, what is perfect. Paul's saying, okay, there's a world out there. And the world is sort of just for all the drama, all that stuff, the world. Don't be conformed. You were created for a purpose. God has a will for you. Tune all that out so you can focus on this. How many times, and I'm going to say guilty, do we kind of look around at the things in the world and say, ooh, I want to be a part of that. Or I want that. Or that looks good. And it has nothing to do with who I'm created to be. I have a friend. This happened several years ago, but he gives his testimony on this now. He was a teacher. We have lots of teachers and former teachers in here. God bless you all. And he was a teacher, and he was a good teacher. He was a good teacher. Sometimes it's hard for us to see the impact we're having, but others can. And he had a friend that was making a lot of money selling insurance. And he said, boy, that looks nice. Because teachers, I mean, they need a raise. Come on. And he's like, but my friend's making a lot more money selling insurance than I am teaching. So guess what he did? He left to start selling insurance. And he realized, I'm not a salesman. I'm a teacher. God didn't create me to be this. And because he was participating, and he'll tell you this, I was participating in this thing that I wasn't created. It wasn't God's will for me to go do this. I went and did it anyway, and all of a sudden, by the time I realized I needed to quit chasing this and get back to being who God, I was in marriage counseling. It was like he said, my life was drama-filled because I didn't simply be content with what God created me to be. You show me a happy person who has a lot lower anxiety than is somebody who is doing what they're supposed to be doing. It's happiness, it's joy, it's peace. And friends, you cannot put a price tag on that. You cannot put a price tag on being a peaceful, non-anxious, low-drama person by what you do. And also, I'd say the flip side is true. Not only us discovering who we are, but who we are not. Because once we can stay in our lane and say, this is who we are, it gives us the ability to say no. I want you to know, saying no is okay. One of the things that really is just like it makes me is needles. Needles, yes. I hate needles. I can't even watch. I was talking to Joey about this week. We were having a conversation about just watching somebody get it. Ugh, it's like that. And so several years ago when I went to a church as the new pastor, and some guy came in and he was like, I'm from the first responder to EMT in town, and the previous pastor was the first responder. Can we sign you up? No. No. Well, why not? Y'all doing great. And I love what you're doing, and I'm glad you're doing what you're doing, but this ain't for this fella, right? I would have been miserable and drama-filled. My wife would be like, get off that thing, yeah. I mean, even Jesus, there's a beautiful one of the Jesus story where the guy comes, this guy, he and his brother are having it out over because dad passed away, and there's an inheritance battle. One brother, I'm not getting a fair share of what I deserve, so he goes to Jesus. And he says, Jesus, tell my brother to split the inheritance fairly. And what does Jesus say? No, that's not me. He says, who am I to do? That's a judge, a court. I'm a rabbi. Jesus says, no, that's not me. It's okay to do that. It's okay for us to be, and there's a lot less drama when we stay. And it brings me to this point, real quick. Staying in your lane can often mean staying out of other people's business. Come on now. Some of you are like, oh, we're meddling now, not preaching. Staying in our lane means sometimes staying out of other people. And I'm not talking about raising children. I'm not talking about a job at a boss, but sometimes if you see somebody doing something, maybe you should just be quiet. Maybe, man, they need to do that differently. Maybe we should just, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't interact, which brings me to point number two, Colossians. Another letter Paul wrote, Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Bear with one another, you know, all of us together. And if anyone has a complaint, if there's any sort of drama that's going on among people against one another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive each other. So if we're in a place and there's some sort of disagreement, there's some sort of drama, there's some sort of a complaint, Paul says what? Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. How much less drama would we have if people would just let it go? You've been on Facebook. I had a friend that he posted. Somebody said, "Boy, he got on." And I said, "What did you do?" He said, I couldn't help it. I said, "Dude, let it go. You're just creating more drama. Let it go." I mean, I don't know how many times, my wife can count, we've been in a disagreement. You ever been in a disagreement with your spouse? I'm the only one that has ever had a disagreement with my spouse. And it's like, it gets to the point, like, it really started here, but it became like DEFCON 5 in 20 minutes. And it usually happened because I couldn't let it go. No, seriously. If you've been married for more than 10 minutes, your spouse has a button. And sometimes, boy, you just can't help but push it, can you, Chad? I mean, it's like, I know if I push this button, I'm going to be apologizing later. And it's just like, instead of letting it go, we push the button, and what happens to the drama meter? Right? Right? And it's just any situation, learning to just let it go with person, colleague, friend, Facebook, whatever. Just let it go and watch the drama stay a little bit less than it would be. Paul, he writes later to this book, this church in Ephesus, to the Ephesians. This is later in chapter 5. He's talking about, this is the one thing for me that I need to do better to lower the drama in just my life. This is chapter 5, verse 15. Talking to the same church, he says this: "Be careful then how you live." How you live, be careful. Take heed, be careful how you live. "Not as unwise people, but as what? Wise people. Making the most of the time, because the days are evil." The days are evil. The world is cantankerous. The days are filled with drama. I guarantee you, any of us, we're going to walk out these doors, we can walk in any situation, whether it's back at your work, back at your school, evil drama is going to pop its head. And I think Paul's saying, be wise and how you navigate the situation. Now, when it talks about being wise, it has nothing to do with your IQ. Being wise does not have anything to do with what you scored on your ACT test. Living in a way that is wise is going about life in a situation to where I'm not in control, God's in control, And I am someone who's willing to learn from people instead of teaching people. I'm going to make decisions where the outcome of this decision is not going to cause a lot of drama for those around me. I've got a buddy. He's a car salesman. I tell him lots of jokes. And he tells you would not believe the number of people who come in here and make very unwise decisions. People who come in here and they've got a vehicle that is perfectly fine and they've got so much negative equity in it and they're wanting to trade it in and get a whole lot more. And he said, I pull him aside like, you realize this isn't a very smart move. I said, your boss know that? Oh, no. No. But making wise decisions as we go through life can lower the drama that will eventually come down the road. I mean, many, 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 many times, the drama that I'm experiencing, I can trace back to a decision I made that I should have done differently, like pushing that button. Very unwise decision that can cause drama. And we do that through listening. We do that through prayer. We do that by taking our time instead of jumping into decisions and jumping into situations instead of doing these things. And all of a sudden, the drama around us, the peace, the wise person is the one who enters every situation, not what I can get out of it, but maybe what can I put into it. I've not come to Jesus to be served, but to serve each other. Do we prayerfully consider the decisions we're making? Not is it financially going to benefit me, not is it going to make me look better, but is this a wise decision that is going to keep the drama meter in my life a little bit closer to zero so that the peace and harmony of those around me can be a lot higher? Now, here's what's interesting about this whole scripture. The whole Ephesians, the Colossians, the Romans, those scriptures that we just all read together, they weren't written to a married couple. I know I've used that example, but that wasn't the audience. Wasn't written to a family of five. It wasn't written to somebody at a job site. Wasn't written to whoever you work with. It wasn't written to a school. I know there's no drama at school, but they're rolling their eyes up here. Who is it written to? Who? A church. A body of believers. The people. The people who are the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. That we are to be different. We are to be the people that go out in a wise way, a way in which we go out to people and say, hey, we represent this body and we want to come out and we don't want to receive, we want to give in a wise way, a place where you can come and we're going to let you stay in your lane. We're not going to critique. We're not going to condemn. We're going to love. And we want you to discover who you are. We're not going to tell you who you are. We're going to pray for you and help you grow into who God created you to be because you're a unique person. And how dare we get in the way of that? We're in a place where we're going to learn to let it go. We might have things, but you know what? We're going to let it go, and we're going to love, and we're going to forgive. Did you know that at this moment in time, it is this moment, but several months ago, since they started keeping up with such numbers, that attendance of people going to church on a regular basis for the first time in history of humanity dropped below 50%. Dropped below 50%. Now, pandemic has a lot to do with that, let's be honest. But I wonder if it's because people are looking for a place to not be judged, but a place of people who said, we remember when we were searching for grace. A place where we remember what it was like to be lost. We remember what it was like to have struggles. We remember what it was like to hold a grudge and not be able to let go. We remember what it was like to make unwise decisions. We remember, and we want to show you this Jesus that can help us all receive this grace. I wonder if that number would go up. I wonder if that was a place to where we could come and we could be loved and we could be accepted, and we're going to help you find your way, and we're going to help you find your place in this world, and we're not going to beat you over the head and tell you, well, this is what you got to be. No, no, no. We're just going to be there to love you and accept you and put the arms around you, because we know out there that is drama field in the world, but you need a place to where you can come and be loved. And I think Paul wrote this to this because he believed this. Listen, I want a place of peace. Yeah, okay, there's hostility. Jesus got rid of that. All right, let's don't worry about that. A place of peace and comfort, and you are loved, and you are grace, and we are a group of people. You know what? We're still on that journey too, and being wise people and making wise decisions, and how can we serve, not be served? How can we love, and how can we do? And I think that's a place that the world is striving for. They just don't have a name for it. And the name they had is gone. And we have a Jesus here that is pure and simple, not something we're going to beat you over the brow with this name Jesus, but we're going to show you what the name Jesus can do to bring hope and resurrection and grace and all these beautiful things that we've been given that we would like to uncover for all of you. All of you. Peace. That's what Jesus said. Peace I leave with you. That's what he said. Peace, this feeling. The greatest feeling in the world is everything's going to be okay. There's no drama. Everything's fine. And Christ said, I have that I can offer to you. And then maybe, I don't know, just maybe, we can offer it to someone else. Maybe, just maybe, that's what the Christian church is called to be. A place that says, come, receive some of this love. Receive some of this grace. Receive some of this forgiveness. Receive some of this good stuff. You know what Jesus is really in the business of doing? Saving us. Saving us from what? What you need to tell me. Saving us from our past. Saving us from our anxiety. Saving us from our fear. Saving us from that unknown. Like the unknown is the worst thing, right? It's like that will consume me. And we need Jesus to say, I got that. I'm there. We need to hear that. Maybe save us from ourselves. So this morning, as we end, we're going to sing a song. And here's what I would like for us, you, to do. What is it? What is it right now that is drama eating you up? And what do you need to hear? Maybe it's that that drama you can't control. Okay? Maybe it's the drama you can control. And maybe the first thing we do is to differentiate between the two. And the drama I can't control, how can I take it down a little bit? And maybe the drama that I can't control, God, come in and save me from being a part of that. Maybe the simple solution is I'm not going to participate that. Maybe instead of going around the water cooler where everybody's doing the drama, I'm just going to go somewhere else. I'm not going to participate in that and watch your drama meter go down. In what ways do we need Jesus to come and meet us and say, okay, you're going to be fine, so that we can leave here better prepared to face what's out there? Let's pray. God, we are anxious people. We are people that have fears. We are people that are concerned. We are people that worry. We fret. And how many times in your scripture have you told us, worry not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So God, help us, help that promise to become resonant in our lives. In the ways in which we are tempted to participate in drama, the ways we're tempted to push other people's buttons, the ways that we're tempted to not let it go and we're going to give somebody what they deserve and we just can't let that slide. God, help us to let that go. And the ways we need to stay in our lanes, maybe the ways in which we're looking at somebody else and trying to, you know, tell them what to do. God, help us to just simply be who you created us to be, and that we will find life. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for just your grace and its abundance that we've received. And help us to remember all the times that you've just let us off the hook. You've given us what we don't deserve so that we can share that with others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.